Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Nun Ches. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, our Mishnah Nun Zayin Amud Av stated that a woman may not go out into Rishus of Rabbim wearing a kabul. On Amud Beis, Rabbi Abo identified the word kabul as an ornamental woolen cap. On our Daf, Shmuel disagrees and identifies the kabul as a kavla de avda, a slave's emblem which is worn around his neck. The Gemara points out a contradiction with another statement of Shmuel, in which he permits a slave to go out on Shabbos with his emblem around his neck. The Gemara answers that the halachas differ based on who made the emblem. Shmuel prohibits the emblem made by the slave, since he might take it off and conceal from others, and that's the case of our Mishnah. Shmuel permits an emblem made by the master, because he will not remove it out of fear of his master seeing without it. He does prohibit it, though, if it was sewn into the slave's cloak, because if it were to become detached, the slave might fold his cloak and place it over his shoulder to conceal the place where the emblem had been, which would result in the violation of Hotzah. Point number two, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani taught that we learned that a utensil of metal designed to produce sound becomes susceptible to be makabel tuma from the pasuk kol davar asher yavo be'esh taviru be'esh. Any item that has come into the fire, you shall pass through the fire and will be purified. The superfluous word davar teaches that afilu dibur yavo be'esh, even items that produce sound, must come into the fire to be purified. And point number three, the Gemara clarifies when bells without clappers are makabel tuma. Bells worn by children are made for the purpose of producing sound, so the parents can know where the child is. Therefore, if they don't have clappers, the bells are useless utensils and cannot be makabel tuma. Bells worn by adults, such as slaves, are worn for ornaments, and therefore they can be makabel tuma even if they do not have a clapper. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, our Mishnah on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Av state that a woman may not go out into the Rishus Rabbim wearing a kabul. On Amud Beis, Rabbi Abo identified the word kabul as an ornamental woolen cap. On our Daf, Shmuel disagrees and identifies the kabul as a kavla da avda, a slave's emblem which is worn around his neck. And the Gemara points out a contradiction with another statement of Shmuel, which he permits the slave to go out on Shabbos with his emblem around his neck. The Gemara answers that the halachos differed based on who made the emblem. Shmuel prohibits an emblem made by the slave, since he might take it off and conceal it from others. This is the case of our Mishnah. Shmuel permits an emblem made by the master because he will not remove it out of fear of his master seeing him without it. He does prohibit, though, if it was sewn into the slave's cloak, because if it were to become detached, the slave might fold his cloak and place it over his shoulder to conceal the place where the emblem had been, which would result in the violation of Hotzah. Point number two, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani taught that we learn that a utensil of metal designed to produce sound becomes susceptible to be makabel tuma from the pasuk called davar asher yavo be'esh ta'aviru be'esh. Any item that has come into the fire, you shall pass through the fire and will be purified. The superfluous word davar teaches afilu dibur yavo be'esh, even items that produce sound must come into the fire to be purified. And point number three, the Gemara clarifies when bells without clappers are makabel tuma. Bells worn by children are made for the purpose of producing sound so the parents can know where the child is. Therefore, if they don't have clappers, the bells are useless utensils and they cannot be makabel tuma. Bells worn by adults, such as slaves, are worn for ornaments, and therefore they can be makabel tuma even if they do not have a clapper. All right, so now we go to our siman. So the siman for Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, not to be confused with the biblical Noach. So here goes. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks after he discovered they were handing out purified security bells to the parents to attach to the children's clothing that didn't have clappers. Once again, in slow motion. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, that means Ron Duff, Nun Ches. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks, which reminds us, our Mishnah Duff, Nun Zayin Amud Av, state that a woman may not go out into Rishus HaRabim wearing a kabul. On Amud Beis, Rabbi Abo identified the word kabul as an ornamental woolen cap. On our Duff, Shmuel disagrees and identifies the kabul as a kavla da avda, a slave's emblem which is worn around his neck. The Gemara points out a contradiction with another statement of Shmuel, in which he permits a slave to go out on the Shabbos with his emblem around his neck. The Gemara answers that the halachas differ based on who made the emblem. Shmuel prohibits an emblem made by the slave, since he might take it off and conceal it from others, and that's the case of our Mishnah. Shmuel permits an emblem made by the master, because he will not remove it out of fear of his master seeing him without it. He does prohibit it, though, if it was sewn into the slave's cloak, because if it were to become detached, the slave might fold his cloak, place it over his shoulder to conceal the place where the emblem had been, which would result in the violation of Hotzah. So Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks after he discovered they were handing out purified security bells, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani taught that we learned that a utensil of metal designed to produce sound becomes susceptible to become tuma from the pasuk kol davar asher yavu be'esh tavir be'esh. Any item that has come into the fire, you shall pass through the fire and will be purified. The superfluous word davar teaches afil dibur yavu be'esh. Even items that produce sound must come into the fire to be purified. So once again, Noah Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks after he discovered they were handing out purified security bells to the parents to attach to the children's clothing that didn't have clappers. Which reminds us that the Gemara clarifies when bells without clappers are makabel tuma. Bells worn by children are made for the purpose of producing sound, so the parents can know where the children are. Therefore, if they don't have clappers, the bells are useless utensils and cannot be makabel tuma. Bells worn by adults, such as slaves, are worn for ornaments, and therefore they can be makabel tuma, even if they do not have a clapper. So once again, Noah Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks after he discovered they were handing out purified security bells to the parents to attach to the children's clothing that didn't have clappers. Now it's time for our four blot back chazara. Daf Nun Dalet. So the symphony Nun Dalet is noodles. Noodles, so here goes. The mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles. Noodles, that means we're on Daf Nun Dalet. The mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that camels may not go out akud, bound, or ragul, hobbled, which prevents them from running away. Rav Yehuda follows the Tanna that says that akud means the binding of hand and foot, in the same way that Yitzhak was tied up by Avram Avinu. One brisa states that it's either tying up the two front legs or the hind legs together. And a second brisa includes both definitions. Ragul means bending the lower foreleg onto its upper foreleg and tying it there. Since these chains cause pain to the animal, they're considered a burden to the animal, and the animal would be considered caring. So the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a man may gather the ropes together of camels to pull them, provided he does not wrap the ropes around his hand. Rav Ashi explained that the concern of wrapping around the hands was one of kalaim. The Gemara suggests the Mishnah cannot be concerned about the kalaim of the ropes, if one was made of wool and the other one was made of linen, since it was taught in the Mishnah that one connection, a tekifa achas, between wool and linen is not considered a combination, not considered chibur. Even one knot, therefore, is not considered kalaim. The Gemara clarifies that, in fact, the Mishnah's concern, according to Rav Ashi, was the kalaim of ropes, and when the Mishnah stated, provided he does not wrap the ropes around his hand, it meant provided that he does not make two knots, which would be an issue of kalaim. So the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's legs, chains, and ropes with huge noodles to help them go free, just like the cow he let loose with noodles between his horns. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a cow may not go out on Shabbos with a strap between its horns like the cow of Reb Elazar ben Azariah. The Gemara clarifies that the cow referred to actually belonged to a female neighbor of Reb Elazar ben Azariah, but was identified by his name since he should have protested and told her not to let it go out since it's considered carrying a burden. The Gemara then brings a number of teachings stating that those who do not protest against people that they can have an influence on are punished for those people's transgressions. Daf Nun Hei. So the symbol for Nun Hei is a 55-mile speed limit sign. So here goes. The race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead. Speed limit sign. That means we're on Daf Nun Hei. So the race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead, which reminds us, Rav Elchanan Rabbi Chanina said that a good decree never issued from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was then retracted, except in the following case. In the times of Yechezkel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach Gavriel to put the letter Tzaf on the heads of the tzaddikim so they should not be wiped out in a magefa, a plague. The Midas Adin asked why the tzaddikim should be spared since they could have protested. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded that he knew the people would not have responded to the rebuke, the Midas Adin answered back that the tzaddikim didn't know and therefore they should have tried. HaKadosh Baruch Hu subsequently rescinded his decree and the tzaddikim were not spared. So the race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead realized he no longer had Zchus Avos, which reminds us, Shmuel said that Saf HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to put on the tzaddikim's heads represented Tama Zchus Avos, the merit of the Avos had expired. The Gemara wants to know at what point the merits expired. Rav said it was in the days of Hosea. Shmuel said it was in the days of Hazael, the Melech of Aram, who oppressed Bnei Israel in the days of Yehoahaz. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said in the days of Eliyahu, and Rabbi Yochanan said in the days of Chizkiyahu. So the race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead realized he no longer had Zchus Avos when he lost control of his car and crashed into a tent with a bed. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman said in the name of Yonasan, Kol Omer Reuven Chata Eino El Toa. Whoever says that Reuven sinned is mistaken, for it says in the Pasuk, Yubnei Yaakov Shnemasar, and the sons of Yaakov were 12, which teaches all 12 were equal. Rabbi Shimon Elazar quoted in the Brisa teaches that the Pasuk, Yishkav Es Bila Pelegesh Aviv, and he lay with Bila, the concubine of his father, is to be interpreted to mean that he sought to address an affront to his mother Leah. Reuben said, if my mother's sister, meaning Rachel, was a rival to my mother, shall the maidservant of my mother's sister be a rival to my mother? Therefore, Reuben moved Yaakov's bed to Leah's tent. The Gemara subsequently brings a brisa with a Malkokas denying whether, in fact, Reuben had relations with Bilhah. Daf Nun Vav. So the sim for Nun Vav is the Shusher and Shul going nu-nu. So here goes. The Shusher and Shul started his career of nu-nuing people. Shusher and Shul nu-nuing people? That means we're on Daf Nun Vav. So the Shusher and Shul started his career of nu-nuing people in Shul. When he heard people question David and Melch's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, Ko'omer David chata eno el toa. Whoever says David sinned is simply mistaken. This is in regards to the killing of Uriah Chiti and the taking of his wife Bathsheba. The Gemara explains that Uriah was considered a morid b'malchus, a rebel against the monarchy, when David and Melch summoned him from the war and told him to return to his wife. Rashi explains that it was not proper in Uriah's response to David to refer to Yoav as his master before referring to the king as his master. Tosas says that Uriah rebelled when he refused to listen to the king and go home to his wife. So if the Shusher and Shul start his career new-newing people in Shul, when he heard people question David and Melch's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, which reminds us, there's a Malchus between Rav and Shmuel whether David and Melch accepted Lashon Hora about Mephibosheth, Shalhamelch's grandson. Tziva, Mephibosheth's servant, told David and Melch that Mephibosheth expressed hope that he'd be coronated once the people saw the conflict happening between David and his sons. So Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Rav that David accepted Lashon Hora, and if he would not have accepted it, his Malchus would not have been divided, Bnei Israel would not have worshipped idols, and we would not have been exiled from the land. Shmuel says that David did not accept Lashon Hora against Mephibosheth. Rather, he discerned in Mephibosheth's subsequent behavior something that had confirmed what Tziva said was true. So the Shusher and Shul started his career of nu-nuing people in Shul. When he heard people question David and Melch's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, and Shlomo Melch's actions regarding his wives. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan, Ko Omer Shlomo Chata Eino Elatoa. Whoever says that Shlomo sinned is simply mistaken. This is regarding committing the sin of Avodah Zorah on the altars that his wives had built. The Gemara asks, if Shlomo did not sin, so why does the Pasuk say, V'yash Shlomo Hara Be'enei Hashem? And Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem. The Gemara answers that Shlomo did not build the altars, but because he should have protested against his wives who worshipped idols, and he didn't protest, the Pasuk regards him as if he himself had sinned by building the altars for Avodah Zorah. Daf Nun Zayin. So the Simcha Nun Zayin is Pinocchio's nose. Pinocchio's nose. Here goes. At the Pinocchio factory, that means we're on Daf Nun Zayin. At the Pinocchio factory, puppets were tested by being dumped into baths wearing straps on their head, which reminds us, the opening Mishnah on the sixth parak lists a number of items that a woman may not wear in Rishus Harabim, lest she removes them or they fall off and she comes to carry them. Included in the list is a statement that a woman may not go out with chutei tzemer, chutei pishin, v'ritzuah, shibarosha, wool strands, linen strands, or straps that are on her head. The Mishnah adds that she may not immerse in a mikveh while wearing them until she loosens them. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak explained that the Mishnah mentioned the law of immersion at the end of this list to explain the reason why women are not permitted to wear these specific strands. Since she's required to loosen them, to immerse them even on a weekday, so there will not be a chetzitza between her and the water, the Rabbanu forbade a woman to wear them on Shabbos unless she's required to go to the mikveh, unties them, and then comes to carry them in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So at the Pinocchio factory, puppets were being tested by being dumped into baths wearing straps on their head, while ornate bibs, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a woman may not go out on Shabbos wearing a katla, an ornate bib that one would wear to protect clothes from getting dirty while eating. Women would pull its drawstrings tightly to choke themselves so they would appear plump, which was considered more attractive. It was forbidden to wear them on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because they must be loosened prior to immersion and a woman may come to inadvertently carry them. So at the Pinocchio factory, puppets were tested by being dumped into baths, wearing straps on their head, while ornate bibs and frontlets were being fashioned to be sold as accessories. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a woman may not go on Shabbos with a totefes or sarvitin if they're not sewn into the hat, since one might come to take them off to show to a friend and carry them in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rav Yosef said a totefes was a charm packet worn to ward off Ayin Hara. Abaya objected to Rav Yosef's explanation because then a totefes should be treated as an effective kamea, an amulet, and be permitted. Instead, he interprets totefes as a frontlet. And Rabbi Abba explained that a totefes was an ornamental plate that wraps around the forehead from ear to ear, and sarvitin were head bangles that were wrapped around the head and hung over the temples on either side, reaching until the cheeks. Rav Huna says poor women would make them out of fabric, while wealthier women would make them out of silver and gold. All right, so now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions plus Three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here we go. Number one. Which daf do we learn that Shlomo Melch did not sin? And if someone says so, they are mistaken. That's on daf Nun Vav. Good. Number two. Which daf do we have a question whether an excessive animal restraint is considered a masui, a burden on Shabbos? That's on daf Nun Aleph. Great. Number three. Which daf do we learn about a katla, ornate bibs, woman would wear? That's on daf Nun Zayin. Great. Number four. Which daf do we learn about Tama Schus Avos? That's on daf Nun Hey. Great. Which daf do we talk about the Tuma status of bells without clappers? That's on daf Nun Ches. Great. Number six. Which daf do we compare opening neck openings versus opening up barrel lids? That's on daf Memches, good. Number seven, which daf do we have a concern about camel ropes being kalim? That's on daf. Nandalit, great. Number eight, which daf do we discuss woman wearing head straps? That's on daf. Nunzayin, great. Number nine, which daf do we discuss putting on feed bags or saddle cloths? A traskal or mardas on Shabbos? That's on daf. And Gimel, good. And finally, number 10, which daf do we discuss slaves wearing emblems around the neck? That's on daf. Nun Ches. Good. Now we go to the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number one, which daf do we discuss a dish with little pieces of bread gets the bracha of a motzi if it has tzuras of pus, it's still recognizable as bread? That's on daf. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number two, which daf do we do learn about who authored the various brachos in Birkas HaMazon? That's on daf Memches. Good. And finally, number three, which daf do we discuss the various brachos on fragrances? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Excellent. Arav completed the pop quiz, plus the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.